Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. What does it take to finish and finish well? We are talking about that on Fridays in the month of March. Lots of people start. Not everybody finishes. Some people finish, but they don't finish well. And we are taking you, opening our Bibles back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, to a familiar statement, some of the last recorded words of the Apostle Paul, when he said, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And so, Roger, last Friday, we went back to the famous parable of the sower, and we introduced that, okay, in order to finish and finish well, I need a good and an honest heart. But what do we add in this part two of our Friday series?
Well, first of all, when we look at this passage in 2 Timothy 4, 7, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith," two things stand out immediately. First of all, we see the action words, fought, finish, kept. But then we also notice the personal pronouns, "I have fought, I have finished, I have kept." No one did that for Paul. Timothy didn't do that for Paul. The Lord didn't do that. That was Paul's personal choices in his life. And so as we talk about this journey and finishing well, we need to see that's where the responsibility lies. It's the church has a place in my life, and I need to be part of an active church. I need to be growing, but that's not the totality of my faith. What happens on Sunday is not a vitamin that provides 100% of my daily spiritual nutrients. It's not there. So individually, day to day, when I'm out and about, when I'm at work, when I'm in the marketplaces doing different things, I have fought, I have finished, I have kept. And we need to see that is the distinguishing qualities of being able to finish and finish well. So in our second segment, which is today, we want to focus upon this last phrase, "I have kept the faith." We want to talk about keeping. And a lot of us in our homes, we have keepsakes. We sometimes call them heirlooms. You may have something that came from grandma or great-grandma and it's passed through the family and it's to you. And it may just sit up on a shelf and its value may not be much to the outside world, but you would give nothing for it because it is so valuable to you. It is something you keep. Some of us have things when our little babies were born. You know, maybe locks of their first haircut or their first blanket or their first shoes. And we have preserved those things. We have kept them because they are very important to us. So, Jason, let's talk about what does the apostle mean by "I have kept the faith." Is Paul saying then he took these letters that he wrote through the Holy Spirit and he put them in a lockbox and he locked them up and he had a key around his neck and they are well preserved and he knows the right? What does it mean to keep the faith?
No, yeah. The faith, such a powerful phrase. It makes me think of the next to last book in our Bibles, the little book of Jude, where Jude writes in what we have is verse 3, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." I think that just simple verse shows us, first of all, the faith is distinct from, it certainly involves, but it's distinct from these letters. It's not that, okay, well, there were these letters circulating around and somebody just grabbed a hold of all of them and put them in a chest and locked them away and okay, I'm going to hold on to those things. And one day when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to open up that magic chest and show him all the letters I held on to. No, the faith is something, listen to verse 3, that was delivered. Jude didn't come up with it. Peter didn't come up with it. Paul didn't come up with it. It was delivered to the saints. It had an author. And of course, that author, we understand from the larger context of the New Testament, is the Lord himself. God is the author of salvation. And so even in Paul's letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul talks about being entrusted with the gospel. In verse 18, he says to Timothy, I am entrusting this to you. And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, he says, Timothy, you need to entrust this to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. When he's talking about the faith, he's talking about that body of teaching that is powerful to save any of us. It did not spring from the mind of Paul. He was taught it. He devoted his life to it. And now at the end of his life, he's saying, I've been faithful to it. I've walked in harmony with it. And Timothy, if you will keep the faith, it can save you. It can save anyone.
You know, another passage would be in Galatians 5, verse 1, where Paul says, it was for freedom that Christ says free, therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. There's an idea of keeping, and I kept the faith. Now two thoughts come out of this for me. First of all, what is the opposite of keep? If I don't keep it, I lose it.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, someone perhaps gives me something every once in a while. You know, if you're visiting somewhere in a gospel meeting, let's say, someone has really thought a lot about the work that you did. There have been times where I have gotten, you know, hand drawings from a little kid that sat and listened kindly and respectfully all week long. And, you know, they give me this big hand drawing of me preaching at the front of the auditorium. Well, you know, on Friday night, it's been a long week. Maybe that was the last thing that I received, and it's sitting there on the driver's seat on my long drive home, and the time comes to throw away the coffee cups and the McDonald's bags and the, you know, the ice cream cone wrappers and all of that stuff. And I've got a choice, right? Am I going to keep what that little boy gave me and put it away, maybe in some encouraging folder where I keep those sorts of things? Or, you know, I drove away. Am I just going to crumple it up and throw it away? And that is what Paul is encouraging Timothy, Titus, Philemon, so many of these different recipients of his letters. You showed yourself to be a person of faith when I was around, or when I was in Thessalonica. You showed that you were willing to turn away from idols to serve the living God. And now I'm sending you this letter, and I'm encouraging you not to throw away your faith, not to throw away your confidence, which has great reward. I think there's a powerful lesson there for us today. Just because I have walked with Jesus for a time doesn't mean I'm going to finish the race, finish it well.
And that's why at the end here in 2 Timothy 4, I have kept.
Yeah.
He kept it through wonderful times when churches were starting and he was out preaching the gospel and people were receiving the word. He kept it when he was alone in prison. He kept it when he was being chased by the countryside, by people who wanted to kill him. He didn't give up who he was. So not to keep the faith is to lose it. And when you lose it, you're no longer walking with Jesus. You no longer are following the Lord the way you should be. Your attitude, your words, your action, your behavior, they've all gone back to the way you used to be before Christ. You have lost the faith. And as we've been trying to illustrate in this series here, it does little good to start if you don't finish. I mean, there's at college graduations, there's not a segment for all the students who started the first semester but they never finished. We're now going to call their names. Their names are never called because they never finished. And we need to see there's not going to be a segment of heaven where it said, here's all the people that started with Jesus, but they just never finished. We're reminded of Demas, who forsook Paul and went back to the world. And so that's the valuable thing we need to see here. And as in Paul's life, as in everybody's life who's a Christian, there's going to be wonderful, wonderful, joyous moments. There's moments that you're on the mountaintop with Jesus. Just great things are happening. But there's going to be moments where you feel alone. There's moments when you're very discouraged. And there's moments when those valleys are so deep and the darkness is so dark and death is all around you. You go through seasons of death. Do you keep the faith or do you use those occasions to say, you know what, I need that bottle to get me through today. Or, you know what, I'm going to go do some things I shouldn't do just because I don't see God anymore. Paul kept the faith.
The word that really helps me, and I hope helps our listeners understand the gravity and the blessing of this, is that idea of being entrusted. When you hear that word, I mean, we don't entrust our grandchildren with paper plates, but we might entrust them with fine china, something like that. When you hear, in fact, in 1st and 2nd Timothy, we read that word six times. That's significant. Entrusted with something. What's that word mean to you, Roger?
Well, you know, a while back, I was at the post office. I go to the post office almost every day. They love me there. I keep them afloat. And I had to ask the lady at the counter who knows me so well. I said, if I had to mail a high-end check to somebody, what is the safest way to mail something? And she told me, registered. She said, every stop of the way, it is signed, it's put in the lockbox till the next night. Then it goes to the next place, it's opened up, it's signed, it goes on to the next. And she said, how safe this is. She said, a few years ago, they had to clean the Declaration of Independence. They used the U.S. Post Office to mail.
Really?
And they used it by register because every step of the way, it was entrusted. You see, and that's this very idea that when it goes from point A to point B, it's carefully carried the same way. That's why Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he's telling Timothy to pass on what you have heard from him to others who will pass it on. We don't change it. We don't adapt it. We keep it the same way. When Paul was talking about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said that he was entrusted to that by the Lord, and then he passed it on to the Corinthians. So one generation hands it to the next generation. They don't make it better. They don't improve it. They have the security of passing it on exactly as it was to the next generation. That's entrusting it. And that's really that concept. So this generation, you and I, we have been given the gospel. We can lose it, we can abuse it, or we can entrust it, use it correctly, and pass it on to the next generation.
How amazing that in first century Ephesus, Timothy can receive this, talking about being entrusted with the gospel of glory. It's the same gospel that someone could be entrusted with in 600 AD in Carthage. and 1000 AD in London, all the way down to you and me here in the first quarter of 2021 on the other side of the globe, same gospel. But Roger, you and I both know, in fact, we were a part of a discussion just a couple of days ago where I heard you say, every generation is just one generation away from losing this.
Absolutely. And that's all it takes. We get that model from the book of Joshua. It says at the beginning of the book of Joshua, or really the book of Judges, at the very beginning there, that Joshua's generation kept the word of God. They followed it faithfully. There arose another generation who did not know the Lord. And immediately the wheels come off. They start having idols. They start doing all kinds of things. And then by another generation, they're completely far away from God. And that's all it takes, is for one generation not to be handled the word of God with the right way, not to be entrusted with it as they should. And so that's why when we get to passages like 2 Timothy, Paul would tell Timothy to handle accurately the word of God. And so we preachers, you know, how easy it is to lift the verse up out of the context and to use it because we like what it says, but it may not be what that passage is really saying as we're applying it. Handle it accurately. Teach it accurately. Don't change the wording of this. Don't flip things around. You know, God has words in a certain order, and when you follow that order, it leads to what God wants it to be done. But when we start dropping out words, we start abusing the text, all of a sudden, we have no longer entrusted it the way we've opened things up that don't belong to us. We've become the author and not the guardians and the caretakers of such things, and that becomes very, very dangerous. Now, another question that we need to ask in this, as we talk about keeping the faith, we mentioned it's not kept in a lockbox. You know, that's we're not talking about the original books of the Bible. Far as we know, there are no original books of the Bible. I think they're all gone for a particular reason. I think we would overemphasize and be obsessed with the handwriting. We would worship the handwriting of Paul and forget what the message says. So there are no original books of the Bible. Where was this to be kept? I have kept the faith. Where did he keep it?
Yeah. In your heart, in your mind.
That is it, exactly. And so each person, each congregation, each disciple must keep this true to himself. And so this is where we keep it. So when Paul would say, I have kept the faith, I have followed the Bible, I know the Bible, I use the Bible, I preach the Bible, I walk with the Bible. And that's the context. That's what we need to see, that we become a people known by the book. Proud of the book, honor the book, follow the book. That's keeping the faith as God wants us to.
I think that's a great practical note to end on as we head into this weekend. We've got God-given time, God-given opportunities. Let's be people of the book. Let's be, as Paul says of Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, acquainted with the sacred writings that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what it's going to take to finish and finish well. Any closing thoughts, Roger?
Years ago, I bought this Bible. And the guy at the bookstore, he was the one who sent it to me. And he said, this Bible that I bought was guaranteed for life. I thought, great. I love that. And within 2 months, as I was preaching, pages were falling on the floor as I was preaching. And I was kind of disgusted with this lifetime guarantee. So I went back and found the actual guy. And I brought in the loose pages in one hand, the Bible in the other hand, and said, look, you know, what happened here, man? This is guaranteed for life. This didn't work. And he wanted to know if I'd been abusing the book, had I been throwing it, and I said no. He wanted to know if I preached. I said yes. Where do you preach? I said, well, I preach among the churches of Christ. He said, oh, we can't guarantee you your Bible. And I said, well, why? He said, because y'all use it. And I thought, well, that's kind of a worthless guarantee. But at the time, it was a compliment. It was a compliment because that's what we're supposed to be. I've heard stories generations ago where neighbors were fussing about the Bible. This one went to this church, this one went to that church, and they couldn't get along. So they called a third neighbor, and that one happened to go to the Churches of Christ, and they said, he will know. See, there was a time when we were known as people of the book. I wonder if that's just an old story or if that's still true today. And so how do we become people of the book? We keep the faith. We use it. We know it. We apply it correctly as God wants us to.
Lots of people start. Not everyone finishes. What's it going to take to finish well? That's what we're talking about on Fridays. It's going to take a good and an honest heart that word comes in contact with. And then it's going to take a determination to be entrusted, to hold faithfully, and to pass that along to future generations. Lord willing, next Friday, we'll take this a step further. But we appreciate you joining us today for this discussion. We hope that it has given you a little bit to think about as we head into the weekend, helped you set your mind on things above. If it has, would you do us the honor of sharing it with somebody else? Maybe it can be of encouragement to them to get a little more acquainted with the sacred writings even this weekend. We encourage you to always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.